It is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch. Again, newly christened. As of next week, I'm going to stop saying newly christened, but I...
Yeah, it's not so new anymore.
Exactly.
I like it a lot.
Well, right, so that's what it is.
I wish I'd thought of it 30 years ago.
Well, you know, we stuck with tradition. We just changed Maven to Mensch. And here he is, and here he goes. Hi, Arthur.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time you're listening.
So, all right. So
I gather people listen at all different times.
Feedback.
Well, let me say, I want to open up the program, we'll call it, to listener questions. I used to be, that was my forte, I always thought, when I was on commercial radio, it was a back and forth between me and the listeners. And the listeners often had great questions, and they often had stupid questions, but, you know, all questions are answered. So whatever question you have, you're going to, in this case, going to have to email it to me via Robin Hood Radio at, well, it's not at, it's M. Miles, in honor of Marshall, M-M-I-L-E-S, at robinhoodradio.com. And send in your questions, and I will go through them, or we hope there are them,
right,
and not just one. And we'll see where that goes, starting next week. Right now, I wanted to say, I got to be good at this because my very first job in journalism, I was only, 22, 23 years old, was as assistant food editor at Newsday on Long Island. The paper's still there, I'm not. And they were just starting. This was the very late 60s. I started at Newsday in December of 69, so let's say 1970. This was the time that newspaper food sections were first coming into their own, courtesy of a lot of food advertising. Anyway, I was assigned the question and answer column, which I called, I thought rather cleverly at the time, feedback. So feedback, I wrote this for 9 years, every week. But must say, we did get a lot of mail. And so I had a lot of questions to choose from, to answer. I tell you that the number one question in those days was, I haven't heard this one in a long time, why does my cheesecake crack? There are several reasons I'm not going to go into now. But that was feedback. And I love doing research, so feedback was perfect for me. Most of the time I did not know the answer, and I would have to research it or go into the kitchen and try something. I like doing all those things, so it was a great column. I don't think Newsday has that column anymore, but it did outlive me at Newsday. It went on for years after that. I don't know who did it. I don't know how they did it. I occasionally made up a question because I wanted it answered myself. So I would just attribute the question to somebody else so that I could answer it myself. As a result of my doing all this research over 9 years, every week I had to turn out a column, I got to learn a lot. And many years ago, there was a New York Times magazine writer named Jonathan Reynolds who called me a walking Google of food and restaurant information. Well, I'm not up to that standard anymore, because I have to say the world has changed, and has changed in the Asian direction. And I don't know nearly as much about Asian food as I do about European and American food, or even South American food for that matter. So anyway, everybody get your pencil out, write me a question, and we'll start answering them next week. Meantime, my neighbor, who calls me for a lot of food information, so I've kept up the I kept that muscle working because I have a neighbor. I wonder, I have to say, she raised two children, two very successful adults who have very successful grandchildren. But meantime, she can't boil water. I mean, she can boil water, but she needs help. She needs a support. So the other day she called and she said, I have a recipe here for, I don't even remember what it was for, to be honest. And I always wondering where she gets these recipes from. She's kosher, by the way. So sometimes I know right away that this is from a kosher source. I'll tell you how. In the kosher community, they love sweet. So they'll even put what the brand is, Saucy Susan, which is nothing but sugar syrup with some flecks of, I don't know, supposed to be apricot. They'll even glaze a chicken with this. So if it has any Saucy Susan in it, or apricot preserves, or there are certain key ingredients, I know it comes from a kosher source. But anyway, she calls me the other day, she says, I have this recipe, and it calls for lemon juice. Do I get that from a bottle, or do I squeeze a lemon?
Oh, dear.
I said, well, you know, it's great that you know that to squeeze a lemon, because this is a true story. I have a friend who's a cooking teacher, and what she does is goes to people's homes so that they can learn how to deal with all this in their own kitchen. And she always sends them the recipes and a shopping list ahead of time so they can make sure they have everything in the house. And she got a call one day from a student who said, well, your recipe calls for lemon juice, but that's not on my shopping list. And the cooking teacher had to point out to the woman that there were lemons on the shopping list, and that what you do is you squeeze a lemon to get the lemon juice. So everybody, lemon juice does not come in a bottle. It does, but we don't want to use that lemon juice. Brings me to ingredients and TikTok. Bob will tell you that I'm addicted to TikTok, which is totally not true. It didn't bother me at all. When it went down, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago? I have other ways to amuse myself, but I do find TikTok very amusing. I watch great musical performances. By the way, you don't choose to do these things, although you can, by searching for whatever. Go ahead and search for Aretha Franklin. You're going to find a wealth of great performances of Aretha Franklin, etc. But I like these, so I mean, I physically push the button that says like. So the algorithm, I have to look up this word. Where did it come from? But anyway, the system that knows what you like and gives you more of it has given me a lot of great musical performances. And then I also get a lot of babies. I like babies. And a lot of dogs. I love dogs. And I get dogs and babies together, which is always fun. And I didn't realize how attached dogs could be to cats and cats to dogs, but you may know this, Jill. Do you have any cats?
Yes.
I thought. And your dogs and cats get along very well?
Yeah.
They love each other?
Yes.
The cats
and my cat's a massive cat, and they all get along with his rat.
Well, there you go. So I'm fascinated by this. Let's remember that I was set out in life to be a veterinarian, but then switched to journalism. Anyway, I some days think I should have been a veterinarian. But anyway, I get that, and I also, obviously, I like a lot of cooking stuff. And I've discovered there is such a thing called a TikTok recipe. These are the recipes you do not want to make. Whenever I get to a point in the recipe where they're dumping in garlic powder, onion powder, and other ersatz things, I swipe up and I get rid of it. So I'm hoping I never get those anymore, but you still get them. So like even this morning, I got one that started out, I don't know, I thought it was going to be a tunnel of fudge. Do you by any chance remember the tunnel of fudge? It was a bundt cake made with a box of I don't know if it was full-fledged chocolate pudding or instant chocolate pudding, but chocolate pudding. And when you baked up this thing, it came out with the center gooey. Not liquid, but gooey. And the rest of it was like a good chocolate cake. It was a rage for it for a long time. So this woman started out by putting a box of chocolate Jell-O pudding into a 13-by-9-inch baking pan, and I thought, oh, she's going to make a newfangled version of the Tunnel of Fudge. No such luck. She dumped a box of cake mix in with the pudding mix.
Uh-oh.
Exactly. And then, and she half-baked this cake. The middle was not set at all. She showed you. This is all video, so it's very, I must say, that's a good part. And then she dumped a huge quantity, like an entire large jar of raspberry preserves over the unbaked portion of the cake. And then she put a crumb topping on top of that and put it back in the oven. So I was ready to stop at the box of cake mix. It was a cup of milk in there somewhere. There was one real ingredient. But you get a lot of that on TikTok, and you could just swipe it away. And then there's other things. Oh, that looks good. And then they put in, you know, a quarter of a cup of granulated garlic, and I'm not eating that. But there are a couple of things that I have done and that I want to do. And the one that I have done and that I'm going to do again, even today, is to fry, in quotes, fry eggs in cream, in heavy cream. I have heavy cream in the house almost always. And you just put, I did this once, and it came out okay, but okay enough that I will do it again. I know what my mistake was. They didn't give any proportions. But you have to use a no-stick pan. It's eggs. And then you put in my small little omelet pan, I think this time I'm only going to put in 2 tablespoons of heavy cream. I put in too much last time. And then you break your eggs into the pan, and you cook them in the cream. Remember, cream is 36%, heavy cream is 36% butterfat. So it's like frying them in butter, except that it's liquid. And I must say, even with my too much cream in the pan, I did have something to mop it up with, and it really was delicious, very delicious cream. And the eggs were delicious, too. So I will do that one again, just as I said, using a little less cream than I did the first time. The other recipe that I made several times last year, these, by the way, on TikTok, these things go in phases. At least they do on my TikTok feed. Meaning, you know, all of a sudden you're seeing French apple cake. And this one does French apple cake, and that one does French apple cake, and they're all pretty much the same French apple cake. And I had to make it last year, and I made it several times. It's nothing but apples. In the French apple cake, you don't have to slice them, but you can, or chunk them up, either way. And then you toss the apples with what amounts to a crepe batter, a thin-ish batter that you don't even need a machine to do. You just whisk it together in a bowl. And you toss your apples in this crepe batter, and you pack them into a springform pan, because that makes it for easy removal, and I always put a piece of parchment paper on the bottom and grease the pan well. You can top that with something if you like, but just the way it is, just the apples with this crepe batter makes a delicious dessert. And I made it several times. One time I sprinkled the top with granulated sugar and made a little nice little crust on top. And I thought about other things to do. For instance, you could glaze it if you want to make it pretty. You could glaze it with melted apricot preserves. So the French apple cake this year, it seems to be what they're calling invisible apple cake, which I never heard of. Apparently, a lot of other people have heard of it. Have you ever heard of it?
Nope.
You know, I don't know. Like Jonathan Reynolds said, I was the walking Google, but I never heard of invisible apple cake. Invisible apple cake is the same thing as the French apple cake, except you slice the apples very, very thinly, and you need to do this on a mandolin. You cannot really do it thin enough and even enough by hand. So if you don't have a mandolin, forget this recipe. So, but mandolins are handy. I paid almost nothing for my mandolin, and I've had it 25 years. So anyway, you slice the apples no more than an eighth of an inch thick. Cored, of course. You got to peel them in this case. You probably need about five medium-large apples. And then you just cut them in half and slice them on your mandolin. You're now going to have half moons of apple. You toss these half moons of apple, you're going to need at least 6 cups, in a crepe batter, and then you pack them into a loaf pan. And when you do this, I've read so many recipes for this, it was only one that told me to do this, but it was a smart thing to do. It's from a website called Smitten Kitten. I think that's what she calls herself. She's very famous now, Smitten Kitten. But if you do a search on invisible apple cake, you'll find a bunch of recipes, including the Smitten Kitten one. And you toss these in the crepe batter, and then you pack them into a loaf pan. And as the Smitten Kitten told me, the flat side of these half moons should go up against the sides of the loaf pan, so that it all comes out very evenly. Now, you put save some really pretty ones to put on the top. I should say, put on the bottom. you want the top to look pretty. So, and whether you turn it out upside down or you're going to serve it straight side up, baked side up, you make the top side pretty. And then you just pack them in as closely as you can. You're going to have to do this with your hands. If you just pour this into the loaf pan, you won't get as many apples in there and not as tightly packed. And the whole point here is that when you bake this, and by the way, in a 350 oven, this is going to take over an hour. I would say it could take as long as an hour and a half, but certainly an hour and 15 minutes at 350 degrees. And the top should be nicely browned by the time you are finished with this, and the apples will be meltingly tender. And you want to let this cool for a good, until it's manageable. Let it cool after it's baked, and then unmold it. And you're going to see when you slice it, it's so compact that it looks the apples look invisible. That's why it's called invisible cake. So there are just two, and there are so many things on. I must say that tempt me. There are a lot of women cooking, not so many men anyway. I'm not getting many men, although some men. I have to say, I take my Italian lessons on TikTok. There are.
How do you know that's not your algorithm?
Pardon me?
How do you know that the women men thing is not your algorithm?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be. I mean, I used to get Jacques Pepin, but he doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't, or whoever, I think his daughter was helping him out, being on TikTok. You might get him on YouTube, though, but I mean, it's always a pleasure to watch Jacques cook. And Jacques just turned, I think, 89, and he's still very vigorous, so keep it up, Jacques. Jacques Pepin, French, of course. He's always upset that people use olive oil willy nilly, but if he uses a few tablespoons of cream, they go crazy. not supposed to use cream. Anyway, there are a lot of women cooking. Some of them are really good. Some of them, I'm sorry, I don't want to be their grandchild. If I ate this stuff growing up, I probably would not be interested in food. But then there are the women who really do know what they're doing and are amusing to watch. The pasta, you know about the pasta grannies?
Yes.
They're on TikTok.
Yeah.
And
for years, yes.
Pardon me?
I think for years.
Oh, for years, yes. A lot of this is old stuff, and it gets me reposted by people who love what it is. But I must say I enjoy the ones in Italian, because watching somebody do something at the same time that they're telling you what they're doing is very instructive. I learned this when Bob and I were staying for months at a time in Italy. We used to watch this cooking show in the morning, and we considered it our Italian lesson, because this man, besides that he spoke very clearly, which helps when you're learning the language, he told you exactly what he was doing while he was doing it. So it was really, we learned new words, we learned new phrases, he was very colloquial, and the same thing on TikTok, I get that. I also get a lot of Rome. You know, I'm a little Rome-centric. And there are these three guys who take you around to places in Rome that no tourist ever goes to. I like that. And but it's also a little negative. I got to tell you, this is funny because my friend Iris, who lives in Rome, it's almost, I think it's 21 or 2 years now, so she's practically a Roman. She Romans wouldn't consider her Roman, but she considers herself Roman. Anyway, we have a mutual friend in New York. Iris is actually a New Yorker, who went to visit Iris in Rome and insisted that he go to a restaurant called Da Enzo, E-N-Z-O. It's a man's name. We love Da Enzo, and we've loved Da Enzo for many years, but apparently it is on TikTok now, and you can't get in. You have to wait. Iris said she waited 40 minutes on a line outside. It's a little trattoria. It's not a big restaurant or anything. And she said, I never go to Da Enzo anymore because all the tourists are there now from TikTok, including our mutual friend, by the way, who should know better. Except that Iris said, Da Enzo is still very good. It's not a bad TikTok recommendation. It's a good TikTok recommendation, but it ruined the place for the locals. You don't want to, locals do not, and New Yorkers do not want to, well, the new generation of New Yorkers do wait online to get into a restaurant. I read about this all the time, and sometimes I see it on TikTok. There's one guy who goes along restaurant lines and asks, why are you here? anyway, so I don't know if everybody knows, I'm slightly incapacitated by a little arthritis, a lot of arthritis. And so TikTok is a big amusement for me. I just wish it was on a big screen and not just on my phone. And I don't know if the Russians are spying on me. I mean, the Chinese are spying on me. But what do they know?
What?
I don't know what the Chinese could get from me to be afraid of TikTok. Hello?
This is not a topic for this show.
Okay. Yeah, well, I know. We don't usually have the same opinions about these things. So I don't want to go there either.
But
what I need to do
I don't think you'll have to worry about losing your TikTok.
I'm not worried about losing the TikTok.
I know you're not, but others were.
I'm not
the day that it was gone for, like, 15 minutes, there was a lot of pearl clutching.
Yeah, it was. It was, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Actually, I thought it was a good break. It was very manipulative, the whole thing, but I, you know, let's not go there. Anyway, there are other. I don't know why they call this a social media. What, there's nothing social about TikTok. I think it's anti-social.
You're not supposed to mention that. You're supposed to leave that out.
But that it's anti-social.
Because that is precisely the problem. It ended up disconnecting. People were getting connected because they had connections all these places, so it was social. But they forgot how to.
I don't understand that nomenclature. But anyway.
In all events, are there any other TikTok recipes you would like to highlight?
Well, I yes, but we don't have time.
Okay, it's something to look forward to.
Yeah, we could. By next week, I'll be on to something else. I have not made the invisible apple cake myself. I have made several times the French apple cake, which is pretty much, as I said, the same thing. Same batter, cut apples differently. But, yeah.
All right.
It'll, I'm sure by next week there'll be something else trending.
Something else will be happening, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All righty. Everybody have a healthy week.
And you
health.
Too. And add happy to that as well.
And a happy, healthy week. Take care.
Thank you very much. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.